So we began Tosis Dibra Mastovi Ala Kusis. We're about, I would say, halfway through the Tosis. And the part of Tosis that we're most interested in now, and we're focusing our attention on, is the part that addresses a sugya in Asor Yuchsin, in Kiddushin Daf Ayin Vav. And there the sugya establishes that the psul of kusim, meaning we're not allowed to marry a kusi, is because even if the gerus, the original gerus of the kusim, was a valid gerus, so they were geria emes, but nevertheless at some point, because they were estranged or alienated from the Jewish community, a shivcha mixed in, that's called Shivcha Eved V'Shivcha Nitmu Bahen. So in other words, any time you marry a Kusis, you're not sure whether she's a Jewish girl or maybe she's a non-Jewish girl, she might be a Shivcha. So Tosis now asks the following: even if I grant you that most, you know, your average Kusis is a Kusis, she's not a Shivcha, meaning she's really a Bas Yisrael, according to this Mandiyomar. But nevertheless, how can you pay a knas? We have a principle called Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya. And once we have a suffix that maybe she is a shivcha, then how can you force him to pay a knas? He has a right to turn to her and say, well, you prove that you're not a shivcha. And she can't prove that because, you know, this is a matter of generations upon generations, and a shivcha got mixed in way back when. So we can never really clarify whether she's a bona fide kusis, you know, purebred, or maybe she's a descendant of a shivcha. So why not say, I see raya, delav shivcha at ushkile. First you have to prove it. Tosis goes now through a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in Perek HaMeniach HaSakad in Bava Kamma. Shmuel holds ein holchim b'momen achar rov. Even if you'll assume that the shivcha by far is a miut, and certainly the rov, the preponderant majority, is not a shivcha, but nevertheless Shmuel maintains ein holchim b'momen achar rov. If the motzi wants to collect from the muchzak and all he has to support his claim is a rov, that's not enough to be motzi miyad muchzak. Ein holchim b'momen achar rov. So now Tosis hints, well, maybe our Mishnah would reflect the sheet of Rav. Rav holds holchim b'momen achar rov. So for example, if I was sold a chavis and I claim, well, the agreement was on a kad, and most people differentiate between a kad and a chavis, then according to Rav, the buyer could claim mekachtos, he can get his money back. So here too, why not assume like Rav, and the reason why you pay knas in a kusis situation is because holchim b'momen achar rov, and she has a rov to support her claim that she's Jewish. Tosis is not happy with that either. Why? Because Tosis says this is a case of kavua. Why is this a case of kavua? It depends who went to whom. In other words, if let's say the father of this girl who had the onus or the pitu, let's say he had a relationship with her mother and he went to her. So if he went to her to have that relationship and she was born as a result of that relationship, then we have a principle called kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzinam. If she came to him, then we would have a right to say that she was parish from the rov and therefore she's a kusis and the child is a kusis. But if he came to her, that's called kavua, kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzinam. Now at this point, we're going to discuss the following issue. And we're focusing our attention now on the kash of Tosfos. You know, we'll have Hakofa Bet when we get to the Teretz of Tosfos. But right now, we want to understand Tosfos kash according to Rav. We have a principle called Kavua Doraisa, and we have another principle called Kavua Dirabonon. So let's go backwards. Kavua Dirabonon would basically apply whenever we have a taroves, a mixture, and there's no bittul. If there's no bittul, let's say the Rabbana might say there's no bittul for any number of reasons. It's a birya, it's a behema, balchai, maybe it's a dovash shel matirin, dovash shel b'minyan, dovash shel b'tam, whatever the various categories are that suspend bittul. So in that case, if bittul doesn't work, we're going to apply kavua derabanan, meaning anytime I take from this taruvas, I'm going into the kavius, the makom kavius, and if I take out one of them, I have to apply the principle of kimeftzal mechzadami. That's derabanan. On a doraisa level, Tosa says the following, that in order to set up kavua doraisa, you need what's called nikar ha'iser bimkomo. So let's say, for example, I don't know which store I went into, but I know that one of these stores is selling treif. Then I say kol kavua kemetzal mefzadami, even if it's only one out of 10 stores that's selling treif, but nevertheless it's kavua because it's nikar ha'iser, meaning I can point to this store and I know that the meat that's being sold from this store is non-kosher meat. That's called nikar ha'iser. Nikara Isa means when I can see the Isa in front of me, then we apply the principle Do'oraisa of Kol Kavua Kemechtzal Mechtzadami. Okay then? So
it's
that's
not just that you know that that's a trade store. You see the tarfus in it.
Right. You can identify it. It's recognizable. If the Isa is recognizable, then we say that since it's Kavua Bimkomo, therefore, if I don't know if I went into that kvius, the Torah says kimechzal mechzadami, but only because the kvius has within it a nikara iser. Again, I don't know if I took from that or I took from here. I forget. I don't know which store I went into. If I knew which store I went into, that would certainly clarify whether this meat in my hand is treif or not. So I don't know which store I went into. I went into one of the stores. Each of the stores is kavua, but more than that, the iser within the kvius, even though it's a mute, is nikar bimkomo. I know exactly where it is. I can identify these. So again, I don't know about this piece of meat because I went into one of the stores and I don't know which store I went into. If I only can remember which store I went into, was I buying for my family or was I buying for my dog and I got the cheap and available meat? But that I don't remember. So I'm looking at this piece of meat. I can't identify it. I have rov that tells me that the meat is probably kosher, but the problem is that there's kavua here, and if there's kavua, the Torah says that we suspend rov and call kavua kemetzal mechzadami. So Tosa says that only applies on a doraisa level if it's nikar ha'iser bimkomo. Now he quotes this Tosus here in the Mishkanos Aroim on page, again depending upon whether you have the pages, on page Tzadi Vav. This was in a booklet that I gave you about a week ago. It was even stapled. It wasn't necessarily stapled in order, but if you flip through that booklet, you may find page Tzadi Vav. If you don't, you might find it in the archives here, which I have in the back table. I don't know. So this is paragraph number Mem Zayin. Alright? So if you want to know where this Tosus is, you want to make a note of it, it's Tosus in Chulin on Daf Tzadi Hei Amid Aleph, and Tosus says that Kavua Doraisa only applies B'nikar Ha'iser Bimkomo. So again, in any case of a Taroves where I can't point to the Isur, then there would be no kavua doraisa. It could be the Rabbanan will say that I'm not going to apply the principle of bittul in any number of cases or categories, but nevertheless, on a doraisa level, this is not kavua. And the din of rov would still apply, because in order to be mafkia rov, so let's say I have a tarovis, and rov is heter, then even if it's not bottled because of some reason, we'll call it X, let's say it's Dovah Sheikh Shomatirin, it's a Dovah Sheikh Dominion, that's only on a Durabana level. On a Duraisa level, I can certainly rely on Rov. I, it's Kavua, says Tosus, it's Kavua, but it's not Nikara Iser Bimkomo. So the two conditions that must be met in order to establish Kavua Do'oraisa. The two conditions are, number one, that there's no tarovus over here. When there's no tarovus, it means that it's nikara iser bimkom. I know exactly where the iser is. And number two, the iser is kavua. It's not a case of called the parish. If I find a piece of meat out in the street, that's a different story. Then the suffix is not in a makom kvius, it's out in the street, and called the parish, move a parish. But if I going to a store and the suffix is which store I went into, that's going to be kavua. And says Tosus, why is that kavua doraisa? Because there's no tarovus. The iser is set in its place. It's recognizable. I can point to it.
What's an example of a tarovus in this case? With the stores,
No. In the case of stores, there's no tarovus. Why? Because the iser is nikabim komo. Hence, I'm going to apply the principle of kavua, and that's going to be mafkia rov. But let's say a piece of treif of meat falls into a mixture. So even though the mixture is made up of mostly heter, if I cannot apply the principle of bittul for whatever reason, I can give you a long list, then I cannot rely on rov. Says Tosis, that din is only doraisa. Why? Because since the iser is mixed together and I can't identify it, it's not kavua doraisa. The rabbanan are going to suspend the din of bittul, and the mela becomes kavua derabbanan. It's only kavua derabbanan because it cannot be kavua doraisa. There's a tarovus. If there's a mixture, then I don't know where to find the iser. So there's no way I can identify the iser. In that case of a mixture, on a doraisa level, we would apply rov. The Rabbanan are going to suspend rov and say, well, I can't use bittul, and therefore it's us. So that's called kavua derabbanan. So when I put my hand into this mixture and I take something out, although statistically I certainly can rely on rov that it's heter, I'm going to assume 50-50 it might be iser. Why? Because the Rabbanan said that there's such an institution, such an entity called kavua derabbanan. I make believe it's nikar b'mkomo. I make believe that I know where the iser is in this mixture and where the heter is in this mixture. But in reality, I don't know where the iser is. It's lost its identity. Hence, it cannot be kavua doraisa. Now we have a problem. What's our problem? Our Tosfos seems to undermine everything we know from Tosfos in Chulin. Why? Because a shivcha got mixed up in this family of kusim 150 years ago. Where is she? She's somewhere mixed into this tarovus. Anytime I encounter a kusis from the family of kusim, I know she's a descendant, but I'm not sure. Maybe she's a descendant of a shivcha of a non-Jewish person. That would be a perfect example of kavua dirabbanan, according to Tosfos. It could not be kavua doraisa. On a doraisa level, since there's a tarovus, you might say, well, we cannot apply the principle of bittul. Let's say a human being is not batel. We'll soon see that a biri is not batel, a balchai is not batel, a human being is not batel. So in that case, we're going to go with kavua dirabbanan. And we're going to say that if there's no bittul, the Rabbanan are going to consider this tarovas, if there's no bittul, like kavua. But Tosa says, in order to get to the level of kavua doraisa, I need another condition, namely, nikara iser bimkoma. Well, there's no nikara iser bimkoma in this case. Now, you might argue that maybe Tosa's kasha is, how can we give a knas because of the din de Rabbanan of kol kavua kemech tzal mechzadomi? But that makes no sense, because knas is a doraisa halacha. And therefore, if you want to say that he doesn't pay knas because of a din of kavua, you have to establish a kavua doraisa. And there's no kavua doraisa because it's not nikar iser bimkomo.
It's never with a person. The person's by like a store where you know you saw the rabbits hanging there. You can't tell by looking at a person what they are.
Correct, so it's not nikar iser, so there's no way, no how that you can set up a kavua doraisa. You could say, well, there's no bittul, and therefore the Rabbanan established the din of kavua. And therefore, how can we force him to pay knas? But that's only at the Rabbanan level. If the Torah says he has to pay knas, he has to pay knas. In this case, the Torah is certainly going to say that he has to pay knas. Why? Because Rov tells me that this girl is a kusa. She's not a shivcha. She doesn't come from a shivcha. She's a Jewish girl, and you have to pay knas. And Tosis is assuming, no, I don't pay tonight. Even though according to Rav holds a what? Holchim b'mom and achara robe. And certainly she has a robe to prove that she's a kusis. But nevertheless, as Tosis, even Rav would agree here that there's no robe. Why? Because it's kavua. Because he went to her, and when he goes to her, she's kavua. But so what? Tosis says that you only apply kavua if there's what? Everybody Nikara Isurvim Komo. In this case, there's no Nikara Isurvim Komo. So again, I can grant Tosus if you want to talk about Kavua Dirabanan. You know, we can't apply the principle of Bittul Barov over here because a human being is not Batel. Fine. And that would be Kavua Dirabanan, but you can't call it Kavua Doraisa. For Kavua Doraisa, I need Nikara Isurvim Komo. So take, for example, the Sugin Zvachim. You have a Tarovis of Chatos HaMesos, and you have Shara Niskal. So there are different kinds of mixtures here. For example, you could talk about an animal that jumped into a mixture of kosher animals, and in this case the animal is Pasul Mizbeach. So when I say kosher, I mean all these animals are Royal Mizbeach, except for one animal that jumped in. That's called Chatos HaMesos. Or you could say that all these animals are mutter, you can shech them and you can eat their meat, except for a Shara Niskal. The Shara Niskal jumped in. So the Gemara says in Zvachim that you can't pull out one of the animals and say, well, this came from the Rov. Why? Because Kol Kavua Kemechtzal Mechtzatom. So you can't apply the principle of Kol Deparsh Meruba Parsh. Each animal is Kavua Bimkomo. You're coming now and pulling out an animal. Says Tosfos, that's all the Rabbanon. On a Doraisa level, if all the animals look identical, then we can say called the Parsh Brum Parsh. There's no Kavua Doraisa here because Eina Isar Nikar Bimkomo. And that is not only the opinion of Tosfos in Chulin, that's the opinion of the Rosh, the opinion of the Ran. We're going to see another Tosfos in Nazir. And that's also a fascinating case. The case in Nazir, that's also an interesting case where a man sends a shliach to marry a woman on his behalf. And unfortunately, after the shliach married a woman, he died. And we don't know which woman was actually married to him. And anytime this man wants to marry a woman, it's a suffix. Maybe he's marrying the sister of his wife because he's already married. So the Gemara applies the principle of kol kavua kemechts al mechts. At any time he goes to marry a woman, she might be the sister of his wife, achos ishto, and therefore she's an erva. He can't marry her. So once again, the Rishonim asked the following question: Where's the isa? This is not nikah b'mkoma. All the women look the same. So you can tell you that a woman is not batel, and if she's an erva, she's not batel because there's no bittel here, but that's only the Rabbanan. So Tosfos says in Nazir that the whole institution here, that he can't marry this woman, is only a knas the Rabbanan. He had no right to send the shliach and say, stop, you know, marry the first woman that you come across, or the first woman that you could convince to marry me. And that's a loch of knas. Why isn't it an isa doraisa? Because Eina Isar Nikar Bimkomo. And you can't apply Kavua Doraisa in a case of Eina Isar Nikar Bimkomo. Here too, in the case of a woman, and we don't know where back in the day some Shivcha got married, got mixed into this family, it's Eina Isar Nikar Bimkomo. All the Kusios look exactly the same. And if that be the case, then on a Doraisa level there's no Kavua. How can Tosfos therefore apply the principle of Kavua and make him therefore potter, make him potter from a knas? He doesn't have to pay a knas because she might be the daughter of a shivcha. What do you mean? There's a rov over here, and the rov tells me that she's not the daughter of a shivcha. One shivcha got mixed into 1,000 kusios. Ella, what, you're going to tell me that now there's no bittel? Okay, there's no bittel. That's okay for a kavua, the rabbanon. But on a deraisa level, to set up kavua, you need nikara isabim komo. Here we don't have nikara isabim komo. How can Tosfos therefore say that we're going to pater him up from knas here because of kavua? Knas is a doraisa. He's got to pay knas. And in this case, according to Rav, he has to pay knas based on a rov. The entire structure of this Tosfos, the whole premise of his kasha, is very weak. It's very difficult. We're not comfortable, to say the least, with the kasha of Tosfos. By the way, we're not so comfortable even in the first half of this Tosfos. Tosfos says, according to Shmuel, so she cannot collect the knas because of that Tosfos kasha, because of a rov. She can't prove that she's a Jewish woman. She's a kusis based on rov. That's also complicated because, as far as this rov is concerned, the rov is already iver gepaskin. What do I mean? The rov is not relevant to dini mamino so long the rov is meant is relevant to a million different halachas. For example, the Gemara says in Masechta Babas, if you find an asufi on the street and it's an ir sharuba Yisrael, that you have to treat this asufi as a Yisrael and you have to spend all the community money to support this asufi. What happened to Ein Olchem B'Momen Achar Rov? And the answer is, all the Rishonim say it, that they were machria the Rov on the Rov, not for Dini Momenos. They were machria the Rov that this child is Jewish. And once they assume the child is Jewish, we mainly have to pay money. So for example, if the Shar of this child was Nogeach Yoshar, or let's say the other way around, you'd say Yoshar was Nogeach the Shar of this Asufi, you're going to have to pay damages. So the ear is mostly Jewish, but maybe this child is from that one Christian family, not Jewish family, that lives in the city. Why do I have to pay money? Shmuel says, Ein Olchem B'Momen Achar Rov. And the answer is, says the Gemara, because it's already Iber Gepaskin. We've already determined the status of the child based on Rov, not Le'inyan Mamon, but Le'inyan Isa V'Heter. And therefore, once we decide that the personal status of the child is that of a rov, that based on the rov is Jewish, then mainly you pay money. I mean, all of Didi Mamanis is built on the fact that if there's a rov, le'inyan Isa v'heta, le'inyan Ishus, le'inyan Kedusha Tovsin, le'inyan whatever it might be, that's going to impact on Didi Mamanis. So we're not even happy with the first half of this Tosus. But let's focus our attention on the second half of this Tosus. How can Tosus operate with Kavua when it's Eino Nikara Iser Bimko? So if you take a look on page Tzadi Zayin, which I gave you, he quotes a different shita of Tosus. This is Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam has a very unique shita about Kavua Do'oraisa. And we're going to see if maybe the shita of Rabbeinu Tam is reflected here in the kash of our Tosus, and that could justify the kasha of Tosfos. Rabbeinu Tam says the following, that even if ein ha'isur nikar b'mkomo, this you'll see on the bottom right on page Tzadi Zayin. Yeah. The Gemara says in Zvachim that if you have a mixture of niskolim v'nisrafim, meaning there are a number of people who are chayiv mises bezdin, sreifa is a much more severe mises bezdin than skila. And what happens is that in this case, rov of the people in this mixture are nisrafim. And the Gemara establishes in Zvachim Daf Ayin, yidonu b'skila. We're going to give him the lesser punishment, even though the rov is a misa chamura of sreifa. So Tosus asks the following question: why don't we rely on rov? And Tosus answers, Rabbeinu Tam, mishum dehavi le kavua v'chol kavua kemechtz al mechtzid domi upotu me'atorah desafek nefashis lahakel. Rabbeinu Tam says the following: you're going to pull out one person from this mixture, and you're going to say he came from the rov, and therefore he gets straight from the Misa Chamura. Says Rabbeinu Tam, no, you can't do that, because you're taking from a Makom Kvius, and Kol Kavua Kemechtzal Mechtzadami. Now once you say Kemechtzal Mechtzadami, now you want to know, well, should I apply the Misa of Sreifa? On that we say Safek Nefashis Lahakya. We can't give him the Misa Chamura in a case of Safek. So now the question is, how could Rabbeinu Tam say in this case that because of the halacha of kavua, we're not going to give him the doraisa of rov, we're going to suspend the principle of rov and rov on nisrafim, and we're going to let him get away with what? With skila, with the misakala. Why? Because of kavua. We're dealing with the doraisa halacha over here. How could Rabbeinu Tam apply kavua? Tosus in Chulin says he only apply kavua doraisa if nikara isur v'mkomo. All the people look the same. None of them are clearly a sreifa, chiyuv sreifa written on his sweatshirt. So this, it's not like the case of chanuyos, where you have one chanus which is selling treifa meat. We can identify that chanus. So not only is it kavua, but it's nikara isur mimkomo. Here's a case where it might be kavua, but it's not nikara isur mimkomo. And we saw Tosus who said in Tarovus of Chatos HaMesos HaShar Niska B'Zvachim Ksherim, Tosus says that on a Daraisa level, we're not going to apply the principle of Kol Kavua, we're going to rely on Rov. It could be the Rabbanan will suspend Rov because there's no Bittel here, because you're talking about a Baal Chai. But nevertheless, that's only Kavua the Rabbanan. Rabbi Natan is clearly talking about Kavua de Oraisa. So that's what he writes, for Hasam are lo nikar lanu zeh. We don't know which one is Chayav Amisa Sreifa, which one is Chayav Amisa of Skila. Therefore, it's Eino Nikar Bimkomo. And yet, Rabbeinu Tam applies the principle of Kol Kavua Kemechz Al Mechzadam. And the one who picks this up, this Rabbeinu Tam, is the Binas Adam. The Binas Adam of the Chay Adam wrote an entire work on the laws of Yoredea. And obviously, all the dinim of kavua and tarovas and bittel are all classic Yoredea halachas. So that's where he addresses this shita of Rabbeinu Tam, and he writes in his Binas Adam, which you'll see here on the left column, Ayin v'Binas Adam shebiru divrei arishonim anal de Rabbeinu Tam svirale de lo beinon she ikar ha'iser nikar lakol. Now here we have two interpretations of Rabbeinu Tam. We're about to learn the Binas Adam's interpretation of Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam says, according to the Binas Adam, a new definition of Nikara Isur Bimkomo. What is Nikara Isur Bimkomo? It's Adam Echad Yodea. If there's someone on the face of the earth who can recognize this Isur, that's enough to consider it Nikara Isur Bimkomo V'Havile Kavua De Oraisa. Now, who is the one person who recognizes this? Well, the person who was judged as a Chiyuv Skila or Chiyuv Sreifa, he knows exactly what his status is. That's called Nikara Isur. You know, if you're talking about Behemoth, then I don't think the Behemoth knows whether it's a Chatas HaMeso or a Shar Niskal, because the animal has no intelligence. But if you talk about the intelligence of a person, that's where Rabbeinu Tam says that it's Nikara Isur Bimkomo. And based on this definition of Rabbeinu Tam in the Binas Adam, he claims that Rabbeinu Tam, in the case in Nazir, remember the Gemara Nazir, which you'll see on the top of this column, Omer L'shlucho Tzei V'Kadosh L'Isha, Rabbeinu Tam would say that that's called Kavua Doraisa. We're not dealing with a Knas. Right, Tosus and Kulin, and there's a Tosus and Kitten that say that that whole din is a knas, that he can't marry any woman because he has to be afraid that maybe she is the sister of the wife that the shliach married on his married off on his behalf, which again is against the rov of the entire world. You know, that's like a rov of 999 out of a million. It's one in a million. So there's a starker rov here. So Tosa says, here we have to apply the principle of Knas de Rabbana. Rabbeinu Tam would disagree, and he would say there's one woman on the face of the earth who knows that she received the Kiddushin. That's enough to set up Nikara Isur Bimkomo. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam would say that any time that we can find one human being that knows about her status or his status as Isur, that itself would set up Kavua D'Oraisa. However, there's another Rishon who seems to assume like Rabbeinu Tam, and that's the Ramban. And the Ramban is interpreted by the Bach. And now we come up with a whole nother definition of Nikar HaIsur Bimkomo. He says the following. The Bach says that Eser Chanuyos, that's the case, he has 10 stores, V'yesh b'chol achas mehen behema achas, V'nimtzeis rea shal achas treifa, B'ofen shechanus achas yesh vaday treifa. According to the box interpretation of the Ramban, if we have 10 chanuyos and they're all shechting the chickens or the meat in their various butcheries, and we know that one of these chanuyos there was a shechita and there was a vadai trefa, that's called kavua min haTorah. Afal pi she'eino iser nikeres, we don't know where this trefa is. Not only that, afal pi shelo noda iser b'mkoma, there's no one who can identify where the iser is. It's still called kavua min haTorah. Why? Because one of those stores, I can't tell you which one, has a definite trefa in it. That's enough to set up kavua d'oraisa. And he compares it to the original case of kavua. What's the paradigm biblical case of kavua from which we derive the principle of kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzadami? That's the case of Zorek Evan Lego. The Hossam, Kevan Shenoda Sheyesham Yisrael, Afal Pisha Lenoda HaYisrael Klal. Imagine this. Again, it's hard to imagine the scenario, but we know amongst the 10 people, he threw a bomb, he threw a very heavy stone into 10 people, and he killed one of them. Now, we know that there is a Yisrael in the group. Again, it works in both ways. It could work if there's one Knani in the group and so forth and so on. We don't know, and no one could tell us now, because what happens is they run away. We don't know where the Iser is. Let's say where the Yisrael is in this case. And the Gemara says this is a case of kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzadami. From this, the Ramban derives the conclusion that if there's one store amongst the 10 that has one treif in it, we don't know where the treif is, we haven't seen it, we can't identify it, that's called kavua. If you throw a stone into this group and one of the people there is Jewish, we have no clue who the Jew is, we'll never know who the Jew is. Lo noda Yisrael, havi le kavua. So Rabosai, let's just set up three shitas now in Rishonim. One sheet is Tosis in Chulin, in the sugya of chatos that got mixed up. One of the chatos is a chatos hameso, a shor niskal that got mixed up with zvachim. Together with the Tosis in Gittin, in the sugya of Omar l'shlucho tsev v'kadish l'yisaish. And those two Tosis in, we see clearly that in order to set up kavua d'oraisa, you must have Nikar HaIsur B'mkoma. We can point to the Isur, see it, it's set in its place, that sets up Kavua D'oraisa. Then we have a second Shita, and that's the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. The Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, at least the way that Binas Adam understood Rabbeinu Tam, is if you have a mixture in Tzvachim Daf Ayin Beis, Ayin Amid Beis, of Niskolim and Nisrafim, we're going to apply the principle of Kavua Doraisa and suspend the principle of Rov, because the human beings here are Kavuim Bimkoman. We know exactly where they are. We took one human being out of the mixture. We don't know if he belongs to the Rov who are Nisrafim or the Miud who are Niskolim. And Rabbeinu Tam says, since we took one out of the Taroves, therefore kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzadami, and that works on a doraisa level. Hence, we're not going to mete out the punishment of nisrofim, which is what the rov would tell me. We're going to only give him skila because it's safek nefashus lahakil. Says the Binas Adam, Rabbeinu Tam holds that this is considered nikara isur b'mkoma. Why? Because the person himself, although we don't know, we can't identify him, he knows that he's in his skull. And therefore Rabbeinu Tam would say that whenever we have a situation in which someone on the face of the earth knows, let's say this Isha knows that she received Kiddushin, or her sister received Kiddushin from the Shliach, that's enough to set up Kavua D'Oraisa, that's called Nikara Iser. Now we have the third Shita, which is the Ramban Shita, as the way the Bach understood the Ramban. And that is, as long as we know there's Iser in this mixture, and as long as we know that there, the Iser is there, and it's Kavua, even though it's Eino Nikar, and it's not nikar to anybody. We don't know which one of the stores has a piece of treifa in it. That's enough to set up kavua de oraisa. And he says the following. This is in Nun. He says, Yesh mishacholek al abinas adam. There's another way of understanding the Rishonim that's not like the Bina Sod. The Nikar Isa Nikar Davashu Mefusar L'Rabim. It's got to be Mefusar L'Rabim. It's not enough that one person knows about it. And Lefizeh Bahidah Rabbeinu Tam Rotzeh Shenis Ari Bacherim Lo Choshev Nikar Isa. Okay. Vahashta. Now we're up to page Sadiches. Nomenun Aleph. Vahashta. Lefisha Mashin is Bayer, that Lashita Sabach Hecha She'enon Misarev, if there's no Taroves, that means the Isar is separate and it's Kavua, Afal Pisha Eno Nikara Isar, if you're going to take the Bach Shita in the Ramban, if you remember that we equated the Bach with the Ramban, that we don't need Nikara Isar in order to set up Kavua Doraisa, we just have to know that there's a Vare Isar in there. We don't know where it is, but it's definitely in a Makom Kvius, is Memela Benidon Didan, in the case of a Shifcha who got mixed up in a family of Kusios, Shapir Hikshu at Tosvis, we can now justify the Havavin of Tosvis, the Havile Kavua Minat Torah. Well, which is the one who came from a Shifcha? Can you identify her? No. Do you know that she's there? Yes, somewhere in this mixture, there is a woman who is a Shifcha. She's not a Kusis. That's enough to set up Kavua D'Oraisa and exempt him, the Boel, the Ma'anes, from paying a Knas. And that's going to be the understanding of the Bach.
Well, why is it exempted from the Knas? Because if this is a Safek D'Oraisa, it's a Safek D'Oraisa. And because it's a din in the Foshos, we go kula. If you go to kula, there's no kumla in the robbery, and you should have paid the knas.
We can't force him to pay the knas because he has a right to turn to her and say, you know what, there's a suffix whether you're Jewish or not Jewish. The burden of proof is on you to prove that you're Jewish and you didn't come from that one shifcha.
He owes the knas, but he can't make him pay it.
Well, it's a suffix whether he owns the class. It all depends upon whether or not. Again, this is Shita Satos. It's not Rashi. You may be confusing it with Rashi. Rashi holds a Geri Arayas name that you pay knas to a non-Jewish woman. Yeah. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the Shita Tosus. Tosus Shita Tosus says you pay a knas because Geri Geri Emes name that they're real Gerim and you're paying it to a Jewish girl. So Tosus says, how can you force him to pay? He has a right to turn to her and say, well, guess what? There was a shivcha here. I don't know, maybe you're the devas of a shivcha. Maybe your mother is a shivcha. Or maybe your grandmother was a shivcha. I don't know who. Go prove to me that you're a bas, you're a real bona fide kusis. You have a passport that says your identity card says you're a kusis. I'm not going to pay you a knas. Aye, but rov. And in this case, we're going to apply rov. Because rav holds that whole kumavonach rov. The answer is kol kavua, kemetzal mechzal. That's going to patter up from a knas d'oraisa, says Tosus. Why? Because Tosus holds like the sheet of the Bach, that even if it's eno nikara isur, that's enough. Another possibility is that Tosus holds like the Ramban. The Ramban holds that you don't need nikara isur. What about Rabbeinu Tam? So here it depends which interpretation you take in Rabbeinu Tam. If we go with the Binas Adam, a person is considered Nikara Isa Memkoma because he himself knows about it. But here he says, Ain't on him your dad. There's no one in the face of the earth who knows where is the Shifcha. The Shifcha is completely lost. And all these girls who belong to the community of Kusios, they all look the same. I don't mean they all have the identified features, but as far as identifying them as a well-bred, you know, a pedigree Kusis or coming from a Shifcha, we have no clue. So if it's Einon Yodea, then according to the Binas Adam and his understanding of Rabbeinu Tam, this cannot be Kavua Doraisa because Einon Isa Nikar Bimkomo. And how much more so if you go with Tosus in Nazir and in Gidden and in Chulin, who says that there's no Kvius of Kol Kavua Kvetsa Metzin in Isha because Einon Isa Nikar Bimkomo, then for sure Tosus has no basis for his cash. So basically, the underlying premise of this Tosfos is like the sheet of the Bach, who holds that according to Rabbeinu Tam, even if it's Eina Isa Nikar Klau, we're still going to apply the principle of Kavua, or Kavua Doraisa, or the Ramban sheet to that Kavua Doraisa, even if Eina Isa Nikar Bimkomo. But if you're going to take the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, the way the Binas Adam understood Rabbeinu Tam, namely, you need that somebody knows, otherwise it's not Nikar Iser. Or how much more so if you take the sheet of Tosus in many different Mesechlas, that Tosus says there's no Kavua Doraisa unless it's absolutely recognizable, I can point to the Iser, then Tosus has no harm. Now we're ready, Rabbosai, for Tosus' answer. There's something called a cheskas avasa. This is based on a sugya earlier in the second parak of Ksubis, that if, let's say, a person has a cheskas kohen, let's say he works in the Beis HaMikdash, he gets truma, whatever happens, he's musak lanu ke kohen, and then we have a shmua, Or some sort of a call, a rumor that goes out that he married a grusha, and therefore his child, his son, is a ben grusha. So in such a case, and he'd be a cholo, in such a case, the Gemara says, ukmi gavra cheskas avasa. Just like the father is a kohen kosher, so too the child is a kohen kosher. And therefore we don't have to worry about the call. So Tosa says, the same thing applies here. This girl that he had a relationship with, this ma'anis, right, he had a relationship with, her father was a kusis. Again, you may have questions about the status of her mother. Maybe her mother was a shivcha, but her father was clearly a kusi. He was a bona fide pedigree, first, yes, the identity card is a kusi. So since the father is a cheskas kusi, which means he's a Jew, again, we're holding now Gary Emerson, so too she has a chazoka that she's a Jewess. And therefore, says Tosus, ukmi la v'cheskes avasa. So even though you have a principle of kol kavur kemechza mechza domi, but against that we have a principle called uki gavra cheskes avasa. The cheskes avasa is strong enough to be machriya the suffik, and therefore he has to pay the knas. So again, in the Avamina, Tosus didn't operate with the cheskes avasa. He only operated with the suffik. Maybe she's the daughter of a shivcha. And if you'll tell me this robes, I'll answer you kol kavu kemetzel mechzedom. And if you'll tell me that it's not nikar b'mkoma, well, Tosus holds like the Bach in Rabbeinu Tam, that you don't need nikar yisav b'mkoma. Or Tosus holds like the Ramban sheet, to let you don't need nikar yisav b'mkoma. But Tosus now in his answer introduced a whole new variable into the equation, namely what? Cheskas avasa. The father is a Yisrael, so too the child is Yisrael. And she, therefore, doesn't have to do any action to prove that she has the status of Yisraelis, hence the Boel has to pay knas.
Then, what is the halacha of nechza nechza, right?
It all depends on what the case is, but generally speaking, if it's a matter of which misa to meet out, we'll meet out the lesser misa, that's called suffing nefashas lahakil. If it's a question whether you can eat it or not, we're going to apply the principle of Sofi Doraisa L'chumra. And in every case, we're going to decide what to do. In the case of Mamon, if let's say there was no connection to any other dinim except Mamon, then we're going to say, Amotzi Mechavel Varaya, that despite the rove, the din of Kavua knocks off the rove and tells me that I'm not going to pay.
I thought I had heard somewhere, I can't prove it, I may be wrong, is that the Safik D'Oraisa L'chumra is itself a D'Rabbanan.
Correct, that's the first Shev Shmaita test, the Machlok Shim, the Rashba, and the Rambam, actually, about whether Safik D'Oraisa L'chumra is D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan.
Because if it's D'Rabbanan, then you're back again to, it's a D'Rabbanan, and then you wouldn't have to worry about.
You mean on a Doraisa level, we could say even in the case of Sofe, yeah, but not in Dini Mominus. I think that whole issue about the Rambam and the Rashba is only as far as Isa Vehetar is concerned. But as far as Dini Mominus is concerned, is everybody agrees that Sofe Mominus is Lakula. That's a Doraisa halacha.
Okay, Lakula, right? That doesn't bother me. That's fine.
No, but I'm just saying, therefore, once you set up Kavua, and that means Kemech Tal Mechzed Domi, then in Dini Mominus, the principle, and that's Doraisa according to all Rishonim, is Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya. So even though she's waving the flag of Rov, because most of the children in her community are Jewish and they come from the Kusa's better, you know, pedigree. But nevertheless, if we apply the principle of Kavua, she still doesn't have that rove to rely on. The rove is completely undone.
Right. So there, these people wouldn't have.
So that machlokus at the beginning of the Shev Shmaita is not relevant to our discussion today. So Rabosai, this Tosfos is a pella. We don't know what he means by Cheskes Avasa. Cheskes Avasa is not relevant in this case. In Kahuna it might be relevant. And that's the sugya of Uki Gavral Cheskes Avasa. His father was a Kohen Kosher, he's a Kohen Kosher. He has rights to claim that if you're judging me, judge me from my father, because I'm a Kohen by virtue of the fact that my father's a Kohen. I don't have to pay $500 to become a Kohen. My father was a Kohen, right? But in our case, the question is, did the father have a relation with the Shivcha? The Cheskes Avasa is not going to determine this, or it's not relevant, shall we say, to the status of the child of this marriage. If the father had a relationship with a Shivcha, we don't know that, but it's called Kavur Kemetz Al Mechzidami, then this girl is a Shivcha. She's not Jewish. So when you tell me Uki Acheskes Avasa, her father was Jewish. Okay, that's very nice that her father was Jewish, but that doesn't make her Jewish. She needs a mother to be Jewish.
But doesn't the Cheskes Kashrus of the father count?
So in the footnote, he says the following: that maybe the Cheskes Avasa here is a Cheskes Tzidkus. And it means what Tosfos really means to say is not the sugya in Chavav, in Ksuvus Chavav, which has to do with the Kohen, that we transfer the status of a Kohen Kosher over to the son, but rather it operates with Tzidkus. We don't know, did he marry a Shivcha, or did he marry a Kusis? So we have to judge him Lekav Schus, and we have to assume he's a Tzaddik. He would not marry a Kusis, he would only marry a Shivcha. That's a very difficult shot in Tosfos, because again, the Shivcha might have been generations earlier. We don't know exactly how the tzidkus of the father, unless you say Daiku Mitzvah, you remember that svar of Daiku Mitzvah, you know, that he would look into it, he would check all the generations, you know, the Gemara says in Sar Yuchsin, you have to go back four generations and make a bedika. So he's such a tzaddik. Again, he's a kusi, by the way. You know, the kusim were not the greatest saints in the world. So to say Cheskes Avasa is a tzidkus, that's a pella. That's a pella. So in Nabi Nun Gimel here, he offers a possibility as to what Cheskes Avasa means in this context. And he says the following. Sorchin, Hech Efshal Achriya Sofik Zel Yechdei Cheskes Avasa, Reya Sofik Ushema Nosa Via Shivcha, Via Kein Ein La Av Klal. Oh, he says even better. If the father married a Shivcha, then she's not related to her father, Alpi Din. Right? Because Ein Lo Yichus, you know, if a Jewish man has a relationship with a Shivcha, the children are not his children. Is Kevet Shenolda Mishivcha Ein Lo Yachas? There's no Yuchsin to the father. So if you're going to apply the principle as Tosfos does in his Havmina of Kol Kavua Kemetz Al Mechzidami, though, I mean, we don't even know if she's related to the father. So you're going to start with a Cheskes Avasa, when we don't even know. The whole suffix is whether or not this is her father. So he says maybe the Cheskes Avasa is a Cheskes Tzidkus Vlo Ovar Ha'av B'Iser, and therefore he would only marry a Jewish girl. Oh, he suggests another possibility. Shehi Cheskes Ha'av Shedina Av Shiye Ben Kamohu. And he says the following, that Cheskes Ha'av is not a, it's not what you call a birur. You know, it's not going to clarify that, the father here is such a tzaddik, he's sure he would marry a Jewish girl. But rather, it's a different kind of halacha. It's halacha in the Av himself. That the Torah says that whatever status the Torah gives to the father, if the Torah recognizes the father under a certain status, he has a right to transfer that over to his children. Even though we don't know the status of his children, because there's a question here whether, again, these are his biological children, we're not sure that these are his halachic children. So he says the following. How do we understand the chazakah? is the chazaka in the father, and now it's being transferred over to the son, or the son, or the chazaka is in the son, that we treat the son like his father. He says the following: the yesh lama the afal pisha nasa shivcha mikolakom yesh labas chizkus avisa. Again, I'm not sure I understand what he's saying, but I just let me say it over. Ibizogin, you know, and then you'll see if you can make sense out of it. He says, if the chazaka starts with her, with the child, well, she has no right to a chazaka until she can establish that this father is her father. If we have doubts about the father, whether he's her father, again, all this is al pidin, right? Because if she's if her mother's a shivcha, then this is not her father al pidin. So then Tosus makes no sense. That Tosus saying he has to pay the knas because she has a proof that she's Jewish. I'll prove it to you because my father's Jewish. What do you mean prove to your father's Jewish? I don't care whether your father's Jewish or not. He's not your father because your mother was a shivcha. But he says, perhaps Tosus holds that Cheskes Avos works in a different way. It's a chazaka that, so to speak, is possessed. It's the ownership of the father. The father has rights to this chazaka. And the Torah gives him rights to the chazaka that he can determine the status of his children based on this chazaka. He could say, this is my child, and this child has the same status that I have. So in a sense, he's like bequeathing onto his children the status of a Jewish status that he has for himself. I don't know. Again, I don't know enough about Cheskes Avisa to either substantiate this or reject it.
Is it possible to say it's a little different? That maybe it's the same. I don't know. That what we're saying is the Chazaki is that he is a Kohen. We're Kohen for right now, and that it's the Chazaki is that a man always wants to preserve his the Yerusha for his children.
Right.
And so therefore he would not marry somebody that would
not marry a grusha because he wants to transfer over to his child the status of kohun of a kohen kosher.
Right, he doesn't want to lose it for them.
Right, so again on a psychological level I agree with what you're saying, and maybe that comes back to his first answer called the cheskas tzidkus, but now he's not working with cheskas tzidkus. Again, in the case of kusi, you know, it's a little bit difficult to say. And also here, even in the case of a Kohen, if there's a strong rumor that he married a Grusha, you know, this is, you know, with the smoke, there's fire, there's somewhat substantial evidence to question whether he married a girl who's kosher for him. But the din is the following, that it's a halach in Avasa. If you learn Baba Basra, for example, you know, the later prakim of Baba Basra, like Yesh Nochlin and those kind of prakim, you'll see that there's special rights that go to a father. And here, the Cheskes Avisa is claiming, again, you have to go through all his proofs for this, but he says that there's some concept called a Cheskes Avisa. Just one second. Oh. And if this Cheskes Avisa operates here, it operates in the following way, that the leda of his children can be determined by him. Again, not because we believe that he's a tzaddik and that he did the right thing, but that's halach and chazok. It's not a birur halach. It's a mashir, so to speak. It's a edus lekiyum adover, meaning we're makayim in the son, the chazok of the father. And even if we have doubts as to whether this father is the father, We still have rights to do that. Now, Tosus is taking the concept of Cheskes Avisa and he's taking it like one step further. That anyone who's nolad from this father, the father's, you know, the father's chazok and his status is transferred over to his yelud, to his children. Okay, that's what we have here about Cheskes Avisa. But the truth is that we still have no clue what Tosus is talking about. Why? Because we have in front of us a tarovis, which means that some of the girls in this group, in this community, in this so-called community of Kusim, are not Jewish. That's called a tarovis. And in the case of a tarovis, Do we use chazaka or do we not use chazaka? You and I would say, well, we have a tarovis, and if we can't come to any conclusion based on rov, then why not use chazaka? Well, that's not a simple matter. Yesh lodun. Okay, this is a shev shmaitito perek dalit, shmaitito dalit. Yesh listapik, b'chol taroves isa veheter, iazlinan basar chazoka, o dinema keva di achas meachatichos, kvada yotza meachaskosa, lo mukminen achazoka. So we have now a mixture. And we know now that this shivcha got mixed up in this whole family and somebody married her. Therefore, we know for sure that in this mixture, achas shalachatichos vadai yotza mechazoka. So in other words, the Shev Shmaita says the following. Everyone in this family, initially, before the shivcha got mixed in, had a chazoka of kusim, geire, emesays. They're all geire. They're all Jewish. Correct? So now, if you would raise a suffix on any member of this family, we could say, ukmi gavra chazoker veikara. In other words, until the suffix was nolad, we had an assumption that every member of this family is Jewish. We're going to continue that chazoka. You know, you're innocent until proven guilty. The burden of proof is on you to be mafkia this chazoka. It's like you have a mikveh that was checked out and you know there's 40 saw. Now you say there's no 40 saw. The burden of proof is to you to prove that yesterday there was no 40 saw. Yesterday I had ukmi chazaka. And that's what I'm going to do here also. All the girls in this great gigantic mixture have a chazaka of cheskas meikor. However, says the Shev Shmaitita, that chazaka to meikor is not going to help me in the case of Tarovis. Because what happens in the case of Tarovis is you have a mixture of something that's vadai not included under the chazaka, right? There's a piece of treif of meat that doesn't have a chazaka to it. And once there's a vadai in this mixture of yotza mechazkasa, I have no right to use the chazaka.
Is that the same as that you're talking about? It's a lesson.
Well, again, I don't know what the rov is here, because what we're going to say is that there's no bittul in this taroves. If there's no bittul in this taroves, then the only way you can be matir this taroves is not through rov, because there's no bittul in this case, but rather through chazaka meikara, that every piece in this taroves had an original chazaka that it was mutter. Now you tell me something changed and it became aser. Well, I'm not going to change a chazaka. Ha ha! That's not true. You can't say that I'm changing the chazaka. There is no chazaka, because I definitely have one piece that wasn't included in the chazaka. So when we say that there's no bittul, what we mean to say is that the cheskas meikara is completely null and void, because now that we have one case, we have one vadai yotza mecheska, so that undermines the whole chazaka for the entire tarovas. Now, here he quotes a Tosus in Nida. This is the Shev Shmaitita. What does he find in Tosus in Nida? So the truth is, I read this over a few times, I couldn't figure it out. Maybe now I'll get the little Siyata Dishmaya, or Siyata Me'achabura, Siyata Dechabura. There were 9 stores that were selling kosher meat, and 1 store was selling nevela. So you find a piece of meat out in the street, that's called kol deparish, meruba parish, halach achar arov. So Tosus in Nida says the following: how could you rely on rov? We have a principle of chazaka. What's the principle of chazaka? I pick up a piece of meat in the street. What am I asking if I want to eat the meat? Perhaps it was what? It was shechted. Well, the chazaka tells me it wasn't shechted. Why? That's called chazaka behema becheskas bechayeh becheskas iser omedes. Oh, so now Tosus is saying that chazaka of eno zavuach, right, is against the rov. Is against the rov. Just 1 second. again, I look at a piece of meat. The Rove tells me this meat is kosher. Correct? Called the parsh meruba parsh. But the chazak on this meat is that at one point in its life, this meat was Abram and Achai, or it was Nevela, whatever you want to call it, right? Until it shechted.
It was alive.
So that's called Bechezkas Yisro Medes. Now, Shechit is going to remove the Yisro Abram and Achai. Well, how do I know it was shechted? The answer is Rove. Tos says, no, I'm not happy with that. Why? Because the Rove is not strong enough against the chazakah. So if you apply that Tosvis to the Shev Shmaitata, the Shev Shmaitata is going to say the following, that in a case of Rove, you're not going to rely on chazakah, correct? What are you going to tell me? Again, Rove without Bittul. When I say Rove, I mean without Bittul. See, Avatar Roves. So I'm going to say, well, let's rely on a chazakah. Every one of these pieces had a chazakah that it was mutter. Says the Shev Shmaita, no, I can't rely on chazakah. Why? Because I can't rely on Rove. One second. I can't rely on chazakah because I have a meal. Right, I have one case, one piece of meat
that's definite
out of the chazakah. Right, it was never kosher to begin with. It was a trait, was an avela, and therefore says the Shver Shmaitata that once you have a vadai, even if it's a miut, but it's a vadai that undermines the chazakah. Therefore, I am going to go back to square one, and I'm going to say that everything is also. You can't rely on this chazakah. Where do we see a precedent for this concept, this principle, that once you have a miut, you can't rely on the chazakah? You see it in Tosfos and Masechta Nida. Why? Because Tosfos is going to say that you don't rely on a chazakah here because of the miut. Right, so let's go over the logic of it. Again, I'm working very hard to try to figure this out. Don't laugh at me, because if you're laughing at me, then it means you know the pshat. So if you know the pshat, tell me the pshat. Okay? So what does he say over here? He has Tesha Chanuyos, and we're going to say that if he finds a piece of meat in the street, what's going to be the halacha in that case? We're going to say Alach Achar Rov. And Tosfos not happy about that. Why? Because even though there's a rove, there's also a miut, correct? And that miut will establish a different chazakah, and that is that behema becheskas isur. No. Forget about that. The miut for a minute. One second. The rove tells me that it was geshachten, right? And now we have a chazakah. The chazakah tells me it wasn't geshachten. So Tos says, therefore, We're gonna end up with a suffix over here. We don't know, when we take into consideration the chazakah against the rove, we don't know how to paskin, correct? So if that be the case, just one second, how does that support the Shev Shmaitata, that if you have a rove against chazakah, and the chazakah tells me not to rely on the rove, you end up with a suffix? So here too says the Shev Shmaitata, even though you have what? You have a chazakah, and the chazakah tells me that the chaticha was mutter, that's before the taroves, but now you have a taroves that tells you there's one case that it's asur, and if there's one case that it's asur, then that's enough to undermine the chazakah. And here too, since we know that there's a chazakah, no, I don't have it. All right, Rabbi, so I'm going to skip this. I'll give me till tomorrow, believe me, I'll try to work this out. It's way too profound for me. Okay. So now, Rabbi Osai, let's go to the end of Tosfos. Tosfos says the following: Avol Kosha. All right, if you want to find it, it's five lines up before the end of the Tosfos. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You have it? I will caution.
After the square bracket.
Right. The listening machzir grushoso mishenises venivola shalo kedarka. Tosfos says that if our Mishnah is offering an exhausting list of all the cases of psulos, and they pay knas anyway, what about machzir grushoso? So you'll tell me, what do you mean Masa Gushoso? Masa Gushoso is not a besula. So how can you talk about Knas? Tosal tell you, I have a Hechatim, so he violates Masa Gushoso, even though she's a besula. What happened? He divorced this woman before he consummated the marriage. She now got married to someone else, and that person had a Be'ila Shalo Kedarka, which means that she retains her status as a Besula. Now let's say he dies or he divorces her. She's now Asura on Baila Rishon Midin Masi Grushasa. If he's Ma'anis her, she's a Besula, and he violates Masi Grushasa, he'll have to pay Knas. Why didn't the Mishnah come up with that case as a case of Psulos? And then Tosis comes up with a principle called Tana Vashir, that the Mishnah didn't cover all the different cases. Mevur mi divrehem, it's on the bottom of Tzadites. Okay, I'm just going to make a note of what we skipped here, so I'll try to figure it out for tomorrow. Of course, I had a... here it is. Okay. Did Nesua, again, now watch this. Her status is that of a Besula, even though she was married off to a second man. She's still called a Besula. Because again, Maksa Grushasa was only Misha Nises, meaning she was married off to, there was Chuppah with the second husband. Now, Nivela Shalom Kedarka. Okay, fine, so that's not called a Ba'ula, but that's enough to consummate their marriage, and she's an Asua. But she's not a Besula. Tosa says she's still a Besula. Is she really still a Besula? The Kolshken Hechadolo Nivela Klaus certainly Tosa says if she didn't have any Be'ula at all, she would certainly be considered a Besula. And therefore she collects Knas. Tzarchi and Gadol. Tosa says, come on, Daf Memtesam Ralph, Dibri Maskel Ve'ema, please look that up. Kosav. The pshitole, the litano, it's not even a question in the mind of the tanoim. The nesua, even though shalom nivola nechsheves beula, the nesua in mashvile kibeula l'chol dover. So you'll tell me, well, the nesua was clinched by beila shalom kedarka. She's still a besula, but so what? She's a nesua, and once she's a nesua, she's considered a beula. Nesua equals beula. That's what Tosa says on daf mem tesam and aleph. And if nesua equals Ba'ula, then how could Tosa say that she gets Knas? A ton of a shir, the Mishnah left it out, but she collects Knas when Nisuin makes her into a Ba'ula.
Well, she had to come to that. When Tosa's using all sorts of strange cases, the Gemara describes clearly the case where somebody was Boel, but he without ruining the Psula.
Yeah, but that's not a Psula. Wait, Tosa's trying to come
not,
up.
I'm not saying but that should be a Toshi for that, that she's a Mamish Ba'ula.
I don't understand what you're saying. Again, the Mishnah gives us an exhaustive list. That's what Tosfos thinks in his Havamina, of all psulos who pay knas. Later on, the Mishnah is going to say, but Av Habala Bito, he doesn't pay knas. Kim Lev the Rav Mina, right? But our Mishnah is covering all cases of Chavi Lavin and so on and so forth and so on, where the marriage can be, you know, the marriage is possible, but still it's not Kim Lev the Rav Mina. Tosfos asks, why did the Gemara case take, quote, the Lav of Masi Gushosla Mishanises? So you'll tell me she's not a Be'ula. She's not a Besula, she's Be'ula. Says Tosis, the second husband had Be'ila Shalom Kedaka, so she still remains a Be'ula. Again, he could have come up with any different, you know, many different scenarios. That's not the point. The point is that she's an Asua. So he asks, that's against Tosis. Tosis holds an Asua, doesn't get Knas. By definition, she doesn't get Knas. She's a Be'ula. She's a Besula, she's a Be'ula. You know, in the material, physical world, she's a Besula, but in the halachic world, she's a Be'ula.
This isn't a riot for that klal, is it?
No, this is a steer into that klal. Tosis proves this klal in Daf Mem Tes. That's okay. That's going to be 220 blot later in Masechet Ksuvos. But here, Tosis assumes that no, if she's an Asua, she gets Knas as long as she's a Besula. How can you do somersaults in the sky and come up with a Nesua who's a Besula? The answer is he had Be'ilish Lokadarka.
Okay, I was thinking the other way.
So if there was Be'ilish Lo Kedarka, she's still a Besula. Fact, the all the Achronim here, he's quoting the Shara Melech, again the Afla, all the Rabbi Kivega, they all ask this question, how can Tosas assume that she has the status of Besula and she collects Knas, when Tosas himself establishes that if she's an Asua, she doesn't get Knas, and Asua is considered a Be'ula. Gamlinian knas nechshev kibeula v'amai isle knas v'chein mevur v'ramam perikald milchus naira. The Rambam says elu einlem knas hamagureshes minan esuin v'adayin hi naira besula. The Rambam says explicitly that a man divorced his wife after nesuin, she's a besula, says the Rambam. No knas. Azoy shteit Rambam. Why? Because there's no knas if a woman who was already in a nesua. A nesua is considered a ba'ula. Even though the Rambam says she is a besula, no knas. She's a ba'ula. Halachically, she is a ba'ula. How do we reconcile these two tosfos? Okay. So that's the question that we wanna ask. So he says the following. There's a machlokas rishonim later on about a mima'enes, right? She's a young girl, a katana. She was married off by her brother or her mother after her father's death. And now, after Miun, somebody Nebuch raped her. Whether she's still a Ketana or now she's a Nara, depending on Machlokas, Rebbe and Chacham, whatever it is. And some Rishonim say she gets Knas. And that's the Shita of the Ramban. So the question is, how can the Ramban say that she gets Knas? She's already been married for the last 10 years. You know, okay, let's not make it 10 years. Let's say from the age of 3. I'll tell you why I'm mentioning the age of 3 here, because below 3, she'd still be a besul even if she had relationship. But let's say she, from 3 till 10, she's been married to someone. They're living together as husband and wife. She's obviously not a besula. So the answer is, the Ramban says that there are edim shelo nisyachta imo, that her husband never had a yichud relationship with her. He's never alone with her. So therefore, she's still a besula. Says Ramban, hence, she collects knas. That's the Ramban shita. Other Rishonim say no. That she's considered like an nesua. And even though, again, this whole structure of nesuin is only a miyun situation, but nevertheless, we assume that she had be'ila. And again, if we don't assume it, then halachically she's considered a ba'ula. So let's talk about the fact that there's no knas to an asua, based on that tosis that we saw. There are edim that testify that she didn't have be'ila, and yet she forfeits her knas. Why is that so? What's the logic here that compels us to say that an asua should forfeit her knas, and she should be classified as a besula when edim are testifying that she's a dayin lo nivala, that there was no be'ila? So he says the following, that her edim eino midagdikim b'dover. It's a milsa de rami anafshe. You can't tell me that the edim were very careful here to make sure that she didn't have yichud, she never went alone with him, and she didn't have be'ila with him. Lo helu al daitam, she itztarchu lahoyed al zeh. No, it's every eidus requires kavon lahoyed. I came to see Reuben Kilshim, and I understand that my testimony is going to be critical. But why would I testify about something when this woman is married, you know, was she alone with her husband, she's not alone with her husband, etc., etc. That's none of my business, right? But I'm not going to testify in this. He didn't even dream that later on down the line, after this fellow divorces his wife, she would be a victim of an ones, and therefore the question is if she is a besula or she's not a besula. That's one way of understanding the din of Tosfos, that a nesua is considered a ba'ula, because we have no edus to rely on that this husband and wife never consummated their marriage, because the edim are eino medagdikim b'dover. The other way of understanding it is that even if I would convince myself that the Eidim were medagdig in Medavar, she is considered a Nesua. And a Nesua forfeits her status as a Besul. Nafkemina, Bein Shnei Atamim, Hecha di Ansa Bifnei Eidim, V'nimtzu La Besulim. The man was Ma'anis, and there were two Eidim, and they found Dam Besulim. That's a raya that she was a besula. Dilatama rishon din nesu an atzma mashrim lekibeula ein lo knas, because she was already a nesua. But latama sheni, even though she's a nesua, we have now proof positive that the edim are telling the truth, and she didn't have beila haraya. There's dam, and the Torah relies on dam besula. That's all parsha in the Torah. Correct in the parsha of whether or not. A man has a relation with an Ashes Ish, and the question is what whether she's a Basula, and therefore the you get Skilo or Chenek or whatever the Pasha is on. So now what we're ready for is the Kesef Mishnah. Okay, give me a minute here to present the Kesef Mishnah. This you'll find on page Kuf on the right side. So if anyone has a chance later and they want to see this discussion inside, they can photocopy page Kuf.
We don't have Kuf.
No, I don't think you have Kuf. You do have Kuf? Okay, great. I just simply can't remember. I can't hold Kuf because no one's here to do this work for me, so I apologize. So I try to do the best I can. And he says the following. The Kesef Mishnah says, how does the Rambam know that there's no knas to a nesua? As we asked before, there are eidim that testify that she didn't have be'ilah, and therefore we should assume, trusting the eidim, that at least biologically she's a besula. And yet the Rambam says, as we saw before, that she doesn't get knas. Why? Because she's a nesua, and therefore she's considered like a ba'ula, and she doesn't get knas. So the Kesef Mishnah claims that the Rambam derived it from a Mishnah with regard to ksuba. The Mishnah says, "Habesula min anesuin, ksubasa mana, v'ainla tainis besula." The Mishnah says that once a woman was in a nesua, then anytime she gets married again, henceforth, she'll only get a ksuba of a mana. And if the man says, I married her assuming that she's a basula, that I found that she's a ba'ula, pesa pasua, whatever the case is, taina's basulin, his taina is invalid because she was already in a nesua. Says the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam derived from this that alma de becheskes ba'ulahi, that the assumption is that she's a ba'ula, and therefore ein lo knas. Says the Kesef Mishnah, with all due respect to the Rambam, he doesn't have really he doesn't have a proof. There's no proof here as far as knas is concerned. The Rambam applies this principle, which is derived from ksuba and tainis pesulin, to knas. Ein lo hashmos, he says. Hosam shayni. The taima the ksubasa mona hu mishum shasheni, the second husband. Eino somech ala edim v'sover. He comes to the conclusion that the edim are just trying to butter up this, you know, faputz this woman and say she's a very good catch. She's still a besula, even though never she was married once before. So that's called the shabcha omrukein. So in hilchas ksuba, we have to look at the das of the mekadesh. He knows that she was married to a previous, she was in a previous marriage. He assumes that despite the edus, she's a ba'ula, and he's only willing to be mischai for ksubas mona. Then the Kesef Mishnah quotes a Rashba, and the Rashba says, "Bat al china." Are you familiar with this? The very famous Rashba, if you learn the first pair of ksubas. That since she was married once before, she's considered like second-hand merchandise. And therefore, the Chazal said that in such a case, once she goes into a chuppah with someone, her ksuba goes down from Masayim to Mon. Aval gabi knas, he says, this is all the Kesef Mishnah, lo shayach taim v'melu. None of these logical reasons apply. In Ksuba, you could say, what was his das when he was mischayef for the Ksuba? Or you could talk about Bittel Chena, she's already been married before, even if they didn't consummate the marriage. But that has nothing to do with Knas. In the case of Knas, the Torah says, if she's a Basula, then the Knas is in place. Oh. The only possible way of saying that a Nesua should not get Knas is to say that we don't trust the Eidim. Chak lefi atam sha'edim eino medadikim bedavar. Why should I pay a knas? Because the Eidim say she's a basula. Who says the Eidim were bedagdikim bedover? They're lo rami anafshin. They never really paid that much attention to every meticulous detail in every moment of her life to guarantee that there was no moment in which she consummated the marriage and they weren't there to see it.
Right. They didn't know that this would be asked of them afterwards?
No. No, a woman is married, a married woman. So two Eidim going to tag her to see, well let's get a peek when they consummate the marriage? I mean, because maybe she'll get divorced and then somebody's going to rape her and he's going to claim that she's a bula. I mean, that's lo rami anafshin. So they say that, you know, we were hanging around. You know, we were the shoshvina. And they never got a chance to have yichud. Maybe she was a nida, whatever the case might be. But lo rami, there's not ainu medagdik in midover. Oh, in that case, then a nesua, by definition, is considered, as far as knas is concerned, to consider a ba'ula. We can never really take her out of the cheskas besula and undermine the knas by saying, well, there are eidim that... I'm sorry, let's start again. I'm sorry, it's the other way around. Works like this. She's claiming that she's a besula. She has eidim to testify on her behalf. She's a nesua. In such a case, what are we going to say? Well, you know what? He has to pay the knas. Why does he have to pay the knas? Because of the Eidim, right? I'm motzi mechavel v'rai. She's already in a sua, and therefore we assume, unless we know otherwise, that she's a ba'ula, and there's no knas. No, he's going to say, we're going to turn to him and say, you pay the knas. Why? Because of the Eidim. The Eidim testifies she's a basula. Well, he has a right to say, I'm not relying on the Eidim, and Bezdin is not going to rely on the Eidim, because ain't of a doctor can be done. So that would really undermine her claim for knas. Why? Because we have every reason to assume, in the case of Nesua, that she had be'ila, and the Eidim are not to be relied upon in this case. Also, if that be the case, then we don't understand Tosus. But if we go with the first two logical reasons why a Nesua is considered a Ba'ula, mentioned by the Kesef Mishnah, then we begin to understand Tosus. Why? Because the reasons why she as a Nesua is considered a Ba'ula have nothing to do with Knas. All they have to do with is Ksuba and Tainis Pesulin. They have nothing to do with Knas. As far as Knas is concerned, it all depends upon her biological status. And now that there are Eidim that testify Shalom Nivola, will rely on the Eidim and will assume that she is physically a Basula. If that be the case, then we understand Tosus. Then Tosus might be saying that the reason why, even in this case of Maksa Gushos Aliachash and Nisais, he would pay Knas, even though she was already in the Sua. And the answer is because all these dinim that upgrade or downgrade the status of a nesua to a ba'ula, they're all based on halachas and hilchas ksuba, and they have no bearing on knas. Now he asks another kasha. This you'll see on page Kuf Aleph, number Nun Zayin. Oh, yesh la'ayim b'kushas hatosis delisni machsi gushasim ishenisis v'nivela shalom kedarkom dekushasim hi aliba de Rabbi Yossi ben Kafar b'yivomis taf yudal from basis really the machsi gushasim in anasuin asura because she was already on a suah, but mina eris in muteres, mishum shenever achar asher hutama. Hutama means she had a relationship with the second husband. Mushum hachi hutzrich Tosis lomar demayri shabala sheni ba'oleho. Otherwise, why does Tosis have to mention that the second husband had a relationship with her, and then Tosis has to fire in for why she's still a basul, because of shalom kedarka? Why did Tosis need that? The answer is because he desperately needed for her to be a nesua. Otherwise, there's no iser machzir gushaso, and that's the shita of Rabbi Yossi ben Kippa. So you're with me so far, Rabbi Yossi. Tosis says that there's an iser Torah, a doraisa lav of machzir gushaso, because it was liachar nesuin. He can't. The second husband consummated the marriage with a ba'ila shelo kedark. Shiv lo kein. If there was no ba'ila to the second husband, meaning it was just erusin and no nesuin, then lo haisa asura lachsa. There's no isur of machzir gushaso. The ulam in ba'ale kedarka. Therefore, Tosus, in order to set up a situation of Maxi Gushosa with a Knas, and she's a Basula, he needed a Be'ila. But on the other hand, it's got to be a Be'ila, did not make her into a Be'ula because it was Shalom Kedark. So that in this parsha there are two different scenarios going on. The same identical parsha really works on two different tracks. On one track, a man divorces his wife and she has a relationship with a second husband. On another track, a woman committed adultery and he can't marry her because achrasher hutama, she had this tuma by having a relationship with another man despite that she's married. That's called the sota. Vitzarech im amai lo hikshu b'pshitus aliva derabbanan the listei machzir gushoso min ha'erusin velo nivela klal. Why was Tosis compelled to stand on the shoulders of Rabbi Yossi ben Kippar? Why not go according to the Rabbanan? The case is that there was only Erisin. If there was only Erisin, she's clearly still a Besula. So Machzir Gushoso min Erisin, he violates the law of Machzir Gushoso according to the Chachamim, even though she's still a Besula. Ubi Yoser Kasha, Maho Ilu Mashakosu de Nivola Lasheni Shalom Kedaka, Hale Leheja Amrina Bekedusha Daftesa Midbeis, Baal Oso Sabaula Shalom Kedaka. Those are the words of the Gemara in Masechta Kiddushin. That although another man, other than her own husband, has a relationship with Hashalom Kedarka, she's still a Besula. But in the case of a husband, meaning within the framework of Ishus, he has this Be'ila, that makes her into a Be'ula. Imkein lo mishkachas leknas, tari nechsheves Be'ula, mibala asheni shenisei slo. The Baal Asheni, who had a Be'ila Shalom Kedarka, makes her into a Be'ula. I physically, biologically, she's still a basula intact name. We have a principle. Listen carefully to the language of the Gemara in Kiddush Daf Tes. Baal osa osa ba'ula shalom kedarka.
That's about Rishon.
So now the second husband, says Tosis, had a be'ila with her. She's still a basula. Why? Because his be'ila was shalom kedarka. Again, Tosis has to insist that she had a be'ila with her second husband, because otherwise she's only an arusa, and she and the isur machzir gushoso only applies going to this man yomer after nesuin. And what be'ila consummated the marriage, made it from an erusin, upgraded it to a nesuin, it was be'ila shalom kedarka, she's still a besula. How can Tosa say she's still a besula? The Gemara says baal osa osa be'ula shalom kedarka, that within the framework of marriage, be'ula shalom kedarka is considered be'a shalom kedarka is considered be'a.
So you're talking about the second one who married her, or the second one
married her, yeah. And after Erisin he was Baal Leah Shalom Kedarka, she's still physically a Besula. Now the question is she a Besula? I'll be dead.
No.
So first of all, I have to ask a previous question. How did she become a Nesua? So the answer to that is because they had a Be'ila Shalom Kedarka, but she's still a Besula. How can Tosa say she's still a Besula? Any Be'ila, even Shalom Kedarka, within the framework of marriage, makes a woman into a Be'ula. She's a Be'ula. I don't care one iota about the Basula. She's a Ba'ula. Because Baal also saw Ba'ula afilu shelo kedarko. By the way, I mean, this is a whole different thing. There's a whole sugya in Dharma about whether you're allowed to have Ba'ula shelo kedarko with your wife. That's a different issue. You know, the Gemara doesn't seem to be a big fan of, you know, advocating Ba'ula shelo kedarko. But within the framework of marriage, it's mutar al pi din, and not only that, it makes her into a Ba'ula. And now, how can Tosis possibly suggest that she's still a Basula when this shelo kedarko was within the framework of a marriage? That would make her into a Ba'ula.
She's a Ba'ula only legabe the husband, legabe the second husband.
But not legabe the first husband?
Not legabe the first husband.
Uh-huh. All right. But you're pretty, I mean, pretty close to his answer, but it just, he says it a little different. He says the following. Yesh lachkar begeder din de baal oso sabu'ula shalokadak. Toots dot. How do we understand this Gemara in Kiddush? Aleph, he says, the chashivas shall be'ilas baal. When the be'ila is within the framework of Ishus, it gives, it upgrades the be'ila to a be'ila chashuva. Vi oso salabia gemura. It's considered an absolute complete be'il, which the Torah recognizes. Umashvi la leba'ula. She becomes a be'ula. If somebody has a be'ila and he's not married to this woman, that's not called a be'ila gemura. That's a be'ila she'ena gemura. Again, he'll be chayav for it. Like, let's say, for example, he did this with his sister, chashuv, right? So that would be enough to be machayav, but it's not a be'ila gemura. It's a be'ila she'ena gemura. My nafkamina, whether it makes her into a be'ula or not. For, to make her into be'ula, you need a be'ila chashuva, a be'ila gemura. Only the Baal in Shalom Kedak is capable of achieving a Be'ila Gemura. That is an extra chashivas because it's within the framework of marriage. O Dilma, no. Lo Nemar Klal Bedin Ze Denaseis Be'ula. No, that's not what the Gemara had in mind. That Be'ila's Baal, even Shalom Kedak, makes it into a Be'ula. But rather, Gzeras Akosavhi, if you take a look at the sugya in Kedusha Daf Tes, Le'inyan Chiyuv Chenek. In other words, there are two types of Chiyuvim if someone has a relationship with this girl. If she's a Basula, there's a Chiyuv Skila, and if she's Bula, there's a Chiyuv Chenek. As far as Chenek is concerned, Hecha Shechalo Le'shem Be'ila Al Yidea Baal, and it's now a Be'ila's Baal, Harei Hi Be'chenek. Afal gavda dayin he besula. So it like lowers the punishment in this case. The yeshlomer the tosa sovin ketzara sheni that this din that the ilas baal makes her into beula is not some sort of universal halacha that the ilas baal is so chashuv and it becomes a beula gemura, but rather it's just like zeris hakosim as far as which chiyuv should we impose upon the boel. And the Gzeres HaKosav is Le'in Chiyuv Chenek L'chein Shapir Yesh Lo Knas Ubi Yushalmi Mavur Ketzad HaSheni Aval HaBavli B'Kedushin holds that even L'Gabi Knas, once it's Be'ula's Baal, she is a Be'ula and she loses her Knas. But this Tosvis is reflecting the Shita that's Mefurash in the Yushalmi. Alright, so we're ready for Mincha now. Alright, let's just make a note as to where we got up to. So bleed in it tomorrow. We'll be studying Samach Aleph. That's on page Kuf Gimel. So if somebody can help me with the photocopy, that would be great. And we also want to go back to that whole section that we skipped and see if I can figure that out with the Shem Shmaitita and Chazaka and Rov.
There's two cases we didn't.